Today on the AV Podcast, we wrap up 2017 with our year in review episode entitled The MVPs of 2017. We break down and discuss our nominees for the Most Valuable Person Award in the world of sports, music, pop culture, and anything else in between here on South Shore Ave. And we also announce our Worst Valuable Person of the Year Award as well. To listen to more podcasts, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. You can also check me out wherever you listen to podcasts as well. You can find my podcast shows on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher under the name South Shore Ave. You can subscribe there, on the Foundation site, or both. Shit, just subscribe wherever you see the name South Shore Ave and get familiar with all the podcast shows, all right? It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast. My next guest is a repeat guester, for lack of a better word, and a past
almost
contributor.
Almost a regular,
to South
man.
What's that?
I'm almost a regular at this point.
Right? And a past contributor to South Shore AV. He was last on the 10-year anniversary of the Kanye versus Curtis podcast, which is we're breaking down the Graduation versus the Curtis album, the album Battle from 2007. Please welcome Sean Adonis back to the podcast to wrap up 2017. What up, brother?
Yeah, brother. I think at this point we need to start calling it Cal C featuring Sean. I think we could just, like, you know, skip the semantics and it just be Cal featuring Sean. You could put my name smaller on the bill. I don't mind.
It's all right. So it'll be like Raekwon featuring Ghostface?
Yeah, that's a great parallel. Let's do that, man.
Cuban links things?
I'll even drop the art.
Just make sure you do my Wallabies nice. That's all I have.
Yeah, your Clarks.
And just like how we usually do these podcasts, only person I do this with really and truly, but, you know, we got to keep tradition here, and especially during the, because last year we did it the same way too for the wrap of 2016, but we have to hold a drink.
Yeah, man. How else are you going to bid farewell to a year, man? You got to, you know, toast, put your drink in the sky and toast the year.
Yes, sir.
Goodbye, man. What you going to do?
I got my little rum with me here. I would mention the name, but I'm not sponsored by them, so I don't give them free plugs. But but it's brown. It's brown in my cup. It's brown in my cup.
Yeah, that's a good hint. Same here, man.
Yeah, so
that's all I'll give too. That's all I'll divulge.
Yes, sir. It's all good. Yeah, man. So this is the wrap up, the year in review wrap up podcast for 2017, called the MVPs of 2017, where we go down the list and I guess pick and choose who the MVPs are of this year. And it could be sports, music, pop culture, and anything else in between. It's not, when we say MVPs, it's not strictly meant for sports only. All right. So okay. Just like last year, let's have some fun with this. I'm going to start off the podcast by saying this name here. Last year, I started off with DJ Khaled, and I think your mind might have exploded a little bit, or you might have died a little inside when I mentioned his name.
I remember that. It was pretty traumatizing. I'm still.
But, you know, he did his thing. He did his thing, though, so it's like, what can you say? I can't even knock him as much as he might have been a clown. It's like, listen, man, he dominated 2016. I can't even knock him for that.
Yeah, I'll give him that. That is true. He kind of fizzled out in 2017, though.
A little bit, but I mean, publicly. But you know, he's still doing his thing. It looks like he didn't make this list this year. So you know, you could hold your heart, Sean. It's okay. We're good here. We don't have to talk about him again for a second year in a row.
Thank Jesus.
Yeah, so I think this name is a better name to start off this podcast. At least I like to think. The person name I'm going to mention here, the 2017 MVP, to me, I think he's the MVP, period, is Colin Kaepernick. he took,
yeah, man.
Yeah, boy. So, you know, he took his stance and kneeled during the national anthem before his 49ers games in 2016. And it was one of the biggest stories of last year. He took his political stance for black and brown people against being unjustly murdered in 2016 from police officers, and essentially sacrificed his career by doing so. But the reason why he's the 2017 MVP, or he holds that moniker, his movement carried over in a way that no one ever could have ever imagined, Sean. I mean, including the NFL owners. Listen, his influence put a shadow over the entire 2017 season, and many other players taking a knee for the same reasons. It forced many conversations everywhere. It even caught President Trump's attention. And even though he didn't play a single down over the season, which again puts another bad spotlight on the NFL for blocking him from playing.
All the garbage quarterbacks that played this year, my God.
I know, right? And it didn't stop his commitments to many of the causes and charities either, with his time or his personal finances. I mean, I'll ask you, but I mean, I'm pretty sure I know this answer. But you think he's a 2017 MVP?
Man, I most definitely agree with that wholeheartedly. And the thing is that I think Kaepernick unintentionally, because, you know, like, some of the media, and I won't call it white media per se, because, I mean, that's unfair, but, you know, whoever, the media that opposes his movement and what he stands for, whatever nationality they may be, they try to paint the narrative that, well, he wasn't doing as well with his career, and this was a publicity stunt, and, you know, mm-hmm. downplaying it and saying if he was still as effective and if he was still playing at the same level that he was previously, he wouldn't have taken this stance. But the thing is that it wasn't like Colin Kaepernick had a megaphone and was like, "Hey, everybody, I'm not standing up for the anthem." It mm-hmm. was like, it was literally that the cameras just caught him sitting down. They just mm-hmm. caught him sitting down. And then they caught him, I think, sitting down again. And they asked him, "Hey, why are you sitting down?" And, you know, then he explained, "Well, I'm sitting down because of, you know, to protest the injustices." And it wasn't like he could have literally, if he was seeking attention, he would have done like our current, or not our current, but the U.S. current president does. He tweeted, "Watch me tonight," or "Watch me on Sunday. I'll be sitting down again." You know,
yeah, good point.
You know, but he didn't. He it was a silent protest. It seemed like it was really just for himself. And then afterward, he even took it a step farther and went and said, "You know what? People think that sitting is disrespectful." He spoke to somebody in the military, asked for their advice on how he can do a respectful protest. And they said, "Hey, you know what? It'd be more respectful if you took a knee," which he did. And that didn't at all calm the naysayers and all of the peanut gallery. So I think that, you know, his stance has etched a place for him in history as a modern day civil rights activist mm-hmm. who took the ultimate sacrifice career wise. Anyway, now that I don't want to compare him to civil rights activists who lost their lives years ago,
right.
But I mean, he took the ultimate career hit and, like you said, started a movement that reverberated all around the freaking nation beyond sports and took the entire culture by storm, to the point the president commented on it, to the point he's, you know, made the cover of Time and, you know, Man of the Year. And so I have to, like, hands down agree with that, man. And I'm embarrassed to say I haven't really yet invested in my Kaepernick jersey, which I gotta do. Have to do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, it's he's really, really become a voice for our people, man. And I definitely say this dude deserves. I'm gonna take a sip in his honor right now. Cap, that's for you. And yeah, definitely, man. He definitely deserves an MVP for this year.
Yeah, just honestly, man, his movement just, it influenced so many people and just in different industries and genres. Like, I just thought it was amazing. Like, he became a lightning rod for people on both sides. Like, yep. It's funny because, like, Donald Trump helped throw as much gasoline on his racial fire as possible, and just by calling out Kaepernick essentially for what he was doing, I believe that actually kind of made the movement stronger, man. Like,
it's true.
You know, like the NFL thought, like Sean, the NFL thought that they could block him like they did Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf in the mid-90s. They thought, you know, we'll just block him, make sure nobody else signs with a team, he'll disappear, you know, and this will be a lesson to all the players who think they can do the same thing. Don't go against us, and everybody will bow down, and the opposite happened. And, you know, it got to the point where, again, like the president not only stepped in, owners stepped in. It became such a hot topic for the entire year. And
and
I'll be honest, Sean, like I'm two things. Number one, I'm with you. I need to get my Kaepernick jersey. I still got to go do that. There's two points here that I think that's very underrated here, which I think is one. I think the racial climate and how serious people took it, I think that was one of the things that I think they underestimated. And the monster they call social media, Sean, that just kept that fire burning as well. what I mean? Like, so many people had opinions that they can easily go to right at their fingertips. And you know, it just kept it going. Or, you know, in the past, maybe this news would have been, you know, something big for a while, and then it just would have fizzled away. But the more people kept talking about, especially players and athletes and protests and, you know, people taking a knee and all that stuff. And I mean, taking a knee, not just in games. You've seen, like, I remember watching the Soul Train Awards and Erykah Badu taking a knee right before she started the award show. You know what I mean? Like, this has been such a strong movement. And to me, I think the biggest thing that I take from this, honestly, is the fact that his silence, man. This guy hasn't said a word publicly in a whole year. Since basically the season ended with the 49ers, he hasn't said a word. But
that is true.
You know, but the thing is, his actions
and wouldn't you imagine a guy that was just doing this for the publicity would have a lot to say with all this attention he was getting?
No, of course.
Serious.
Of course.
Freaking people are so stupid. They make comments and ignore the reality. They make things, say things just to feed their narrative, mm-hmm. and they're so freaking ignorant. It makes me so sick. It's freaking idiots.
No, and
anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
It's all good. We talking here, but yeah, like I said, man, it's his greatest weapon to me is his silence. And that moniker, his actions speak louder than words. Like, his actions has been deafening this year. I mean, it hasn't stopped him, even though he hasn't, you know, like I said, he hasn't played it down. It hasn't stopped him from giving to charities and speaking out, like not even speaking, like speaking out, like, you know, in a private way to different causes. And, you know, that's like probably the biggest thing. The fact that nobody could trap him in an interview and change his views and change his words and, you know, manipulate certain things and have him coming out on the other side looking bad. He hasn't given anybody any ammunition,
which
think is the smartest thing.
Exactly, and which further proves, you know, my point that this wasn't really about what his naysayers are trying to say and accuse him of using this just as a publicity stunt, or he wouldn't do it if he was doing well in sports, so he's falling back on this to make himself relevant. If he was, man, Colin Kaepernick could be, you know, essentially LeVar Ball out there, and people would want to hear him.
Yeah.
People would want to hear him at this point, man. Like, honestly, and the thing too is that he really, really unmasked and brought to the forefront the severity of the issue of race.
Oh, really, yeah.
You know, the problems with race relations, man. Because when you see people like, and here, I don't want to turn it into a, you know, again, a black versus white thing and what have you, but when you see people like, you know, this whole movement, you know, of taking a knee and protesting racial injustice, when you see people arguing against protesting the right to be treated equally and consider that to be something that they find offensive, that someone says, you know, treat me equally, and they go, oh, come on, I don't want to hear that and argue that. the fact that we live in that climate, he put a spotlight on that, man. And he's caused the people that secretly, you know, felt this way and never said anything to come out and, you know, feel comfortable arguing the point and make it look and just try to do what people always do when somebody comes out and speaks to the cause that Kaepernick does, is try to turn it to something else to demonize them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, oh, you're disrespecting the troops, and, oh, it's about disrespecting the flag and disrespecting the country, and if you don't like it, you don't have to live here. And, man, all the guy is saying is treat us equally, man.
And if you look at the flag penal code, kneeling before the flag is not in violation of the flag penal code in the United States. So this whole thing that you're disrespecting the troops is nonsense. I mean, it's written in law that this is not a problem. You know what I mean? So and again, right,
yeah.
And the fact that, as you know, you mentioned before that he got, you know, he got words of wisdom from, you know, a Marine, and basically put that together so that, you know what, I'll compromise and I'll kneel so that I'm still showing respect for the armed forces and the troops. And all of a sudden, a year later, you're disrespecting the troops?
Yeah.
And out of all people, Donald Trump is the one to declare that. Like, really? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that whole thing is hilarious unto itself.
For so many reasons.
Oh, yeah. But at the end of the day, I mean, we'll realize in about 25, 30 years from now, Sean, like, Kaepernick is going to be immortalized for this. And everybody that try to oppose him is going to be on the wrong side of history.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, so all the knocking he's taking now, like, it's at the end of the day, when you look back, like, he's going to be something like, as we look at, like, the civil rights heroes and different people like that, you're going to look at Kaepernick the same way for this generation. And even for us, too. Like, we're going to look back on this and we're going to remember we'll be able to tell, like, our grandkids, you know, what happened. You know what I mean? Like, with regards to this. And they'll be proud. It's a proud time, you know. At least be proud of Kaepernick.
And yeah, that is true.
And before we move on, the only one thing I'll say is this, man: is I don't want him to play. I don't want him to play in the NFL, Sean.
I think he's kind of backed himself into a corner a bit. If he does play now, people are going to see it as him kind of selling out to the establishment, you know. Which I have mixed feelings about. Because essentially they tried to blackball him because of what he did. He did the right thing. They tried to blackball him. So letting him play now, it will be either only one of two circumstances. Either one, someone will be like, listen, there's just nothing out there. You know, like, there's nothing out there. I guess we'll throw in the towel or we'll concede and just take Kaepernick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll take him just to hush the, you know, to prove people wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Either case, I wouldn't appreciate, because that's like a girl going out with you because someone canceled a date on her, the first one. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So you want to go out to date with me because someone stood you up? At this point, I don't want that. Or because there's no one better? Like, you know, you want to go to prom with me because no one asked you? Okay, now you want to go with me? You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. like that kind of stuff, for his self-respect, I don't know if he would do that. I mean, the window closed where I think it would have been acceptable for him to accept a contract in the NFL, I think.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is that I don't want to see him go back just because I don't know if he's ever going to get a fair shake. Like, I think if anybody signs him, we don't know if it's, as you said, you don't know if it's because they want him to, you know, they think he's going to help the team. Or is just to basically shut the media up and shut everybody up and say, hey, look, we signed him. And then after a few months, you know, of not playing him or not giving him any time, then you release him and say, well, he couldn't understand the playbook. You know, he couldn't fall onto our system. So, you know, so that's why I'm like, I just don't think at this stage he's going to get a fair shake. And then plus on top of that, too, like he's suing basically the owners of the NFL for collusion. So if he ever does play again, it's not going to go over well. You know what I mean? Like, whoever takes him he's not going to get a fair shake. And that's what I'm afraid of. Because the same thing, like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, he ended up playing back in the NBA, I believe it was the Vancouver Grizzlies, for like a cup of coffee. Like, I remember, he had a few good games, and then he went, basically after that, they just exiled him again.
Yeah,
you know, so it's, so like, I just don't want to see that happen to him. And I think what he's doing right now, like as opposed to what Rauf did was, I mean, Rauf didn't have this movement going for him back in 95. And I think Kaepernick is, has us going so strong that honestly, I don't want him to play. Because I think right now, I don't think he's going to get a fair shake. And I think this movement is bigger than football. It's bigger than him going back to play.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know,
I agree.
Like his legacy, I think is etched in stone forever at this point, regardless if he ever plays another down.
And on top of that, in a more fickle sense, people will, you know, they're going to micro analyze every down if Kaepernick plays. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if he shoots one interception, people are going to say, "Oh, that's why they didn't. It took him a while to get a contract." Or if he, like his play will be so scrutinized, mm-hmm. and it'll be used to justify his blackballing. Like, forget it, man. I think it's now the more I think about it, I really am completely on board with this idea of him not playing again, man.
Because at this stage, he could be like Brady or Rodgers, and by the time he fumbles the ball for the first time, it's, "Oh, you suck, you're horrible," and it just, I want no parts of it. So the Me Too movement, I'm going to nominate them for an MVP candidate to see if they make it or not, which I think they should. It's a heavy topic, yikes. I know. So women and men who have fought back against sexual harassment or worse from their mostly male superiors, particularly in Hollywood, which includes some of the biggest execs, power brokers, and gatekeepers in Hollywood. And now they got everybody scrambling for their lives. Harvey Weinstein being the biggest domino to fall, with everyone from Kevin Spacey, Charlie Rose, Matt Lauer, Russell Simmons, Tavis Smiley. The latest one is Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson. And you know it's a whole lot more than that. So yeah, so imagine that. Everybody thought Bill Cosby was the problem, right?
Yeah. Bill and his pills seem lightweight. It seemed like, hardly seem like a story anymore, or hardly seem like it's outside of the norm at this point for that time period.
No, exactly. So the Me Too movement survivors or protesters or however you want to call it, are they the MVPs of 2017?
Okay. This one's a tough one. It's tough for me to say they're the MVPs because I'll say the MVPs are the first people that came out. The Harvey Weinstein Me Too whistleblowers. Mm-hmm. Because everybody else, and this might sound hard, whatever, but they just jumped on the bandwagon. At this point, they're giving you a high five if you're Me Too-ing. Like, there's no risk associated with that, mm-hmm. right? You mm-hmm. could Me Too anybody. At this point, you could Me Too the most powerful man in the United States. And, you know, the thing about the first people that brought that to the forefront is that they did that despite the possible repercussions. Now there's no repercussions for that. You're heralded for that. And the person that the Me Too is pointed in their direction, man, they throw them out with the bathwater, even at the mention. I like, there's a dude, I don't know what his name is, but I can't remember. Apparently from that show Silicon Valley, and somebody accused him. Just one woman accused him of something indecent. Just her accusation. And apparently they can't, some comedy network or whoever canceled his special and canceled his show. He's done. Mm-hmm. Now, it just takes, don't get me wrong, the Me Too movement itself is so powerful. But the MVP, I'll give to the Harvey Weinstein accusers, because they really took a risk, because they didn't know how that would go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't know that it would spark this movement. It could have been, "Hey, by the way, you outed this powerful dude. It's a wrap for you. You're finished." You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they really took a break. They really took a chance with that. Now, with that said, let me say this: this is the craziest shit ever, mm-hmm. ever, man. Every single day, the dominoes fall. You don't know who's next. Like, there's so many perverts in Hollywood and so many perverts, you know, upper management, you know, C-level positions that are shaking in their boots, like, oh man, when is somebody gonna out me? I know what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's a mm-hmm. lot of dudes. Like, the funniest thing is Matt Lauer. I remember when Harvey Weinstein got outed, Matt Lauer was on TV talking shit about Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Knowing he does scumbaggery with a button under his desk to turn his office to a dungeon.
Right.
And he still did that. You know what I mean? So, and he must have went home like, oh shit, when are they going to find out about me? You know what I mean? So, with that said, I don't want to diminish in any way, shape, or form the power of this movement. I think that, like, even me, and I won't say me, I think men in general, men who don't go and sexually harass women, and I know you well enough to say that we both fall into that category.
Right.
We don't really understand and appreciate what women go through from people that have, from men that abuse their power treat them like this. Like, I had no, like, you hear about the casting couch, you know what I mean? Where
yeah.
men, you know, I figured it was like, you know, it was limited to, you know, okay, hey, you're an unknown actress, show me what you could do to get the role. But honestly, even me, I was ignorant, bro. I had no idea it expanded this far and to this degree of depravity. Like, dudes just sitting there pleasuring themselves in front of women, like, yo, I didn't know that this kind of stuff occurred, man.
Yeah, because here's my question: is that a thing? Is this pulling out your willy? Is that a thing?
I don't know, man.
Just something you do?
I don't know. I can't even understand the thrill, to be quite honest with you, man. Like,
I mean, even in my single days, my wild single days, or the times where I got a little wild, It was never in my thought process to just pull out my willy and be like, hey, what up?
Yeah, man, because, I mean, when, you know, you're younger and people are telling you stories and, hey, this one time I brought this girl back to my crib, none of the stories ended with, and I pulled out my genitalia and she gasped and you should have seen her face and it was amazing how disgusted she was. Like, I never heard, like...
No.
I don't understand. Like, it's incredibly disgusting. But with that said, like, the main point is that the fact that women had to deal with this, I think the most powerful thing that's going to come from this is women had to deal with this. Men thought they could do this with impunity, and now they realize, nope, I cannot, and that's going to change behavior. I think that's going to be the most important thing to come out of this. Is it's going to change the culture going forward, that men are going to be afraid to act like this because they know that there are repercussions where previously there were none.
And that's probably a good thing. Well, I shouldn't say it's probably. Let me rephrase that. And that's a good thing.
Right? Yeah, sure.
Right? Because when you look at the history of power, and in these cases, it's mostly been men, we've shown throughout many years and decades that we will abuse that power if we have it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
I mean, absolute, what do they say? Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right, right.
Yeah, for right. sure.
I mean, I've heard those stories a lot in the past, especially pertaining to, like, the music business and entertainment business, and it could be, you've heard some of the dirtiest stories, you know what I mean? Like, I know I've heard some of them, and just from people, like, in the industry, and it's, you know, like, it's crazy. So, hearing some of this stuff come out, I'm like, I'm not stunned. Like, I'm not surprised, to be honest with you. Like, none of this stuff really surprises me. But, like, when I saw Harvey Weinstein's name fall, I won't lie to you, I was shocked that his name fell, because I know that guy's he's like a gatekeeper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, like, when I saw his name fall, like, I was like, wow. Like, that is wow. Because, you know, again, like, this guy with a snap of a finger, Sean, could change your career from somebody who's doing commercials for Walmart to winning a Golden Globe or an Oscar. He could change your career like that within a couple of movies. Casting
only
the right
thing
way.
I'll say, though, sorry to cut you off.
Mm.
Only thing I'll say is I think that we're reaching very dangerous waters, though, bro. Because at this point in time now, it's like it doesn't even have to be something that is a confirmed. Or it's hard to confirm, but you know that there's a lot of research done necessarily. it's dangerous. I just don't want it to, because unfortunately, you know, you will have people that will try to capitalize off of every situation that arises. And I don't want to see, and I mean, I guess we'll never know. Maybe this has already happened. Who knows? But I don't want to see innocent people go down with people that have, you know, done these things. Because at this point in time now, if somebody meet, like I said, this dude from Silicon Valley, one girl meet to them, and they cancel the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even like a, you know, it wasn't even a story that was, that had a lot of witnesses or you know, that was substantiated by somebody else. It was like one person that said, hey, he was inappropriate with me and blah, and blah, blah, blah. And then I can't remember what network it was, but they said, yeah, well, we're going to stay away from that. We're canceling your stuff.
Like, just to be safe, we're just wiping you out.
Yeah, and that, I think, is a dangerous route to take. So I'm all down for the bowling pins to keep falling, you know, but I just don't want it to be the type of thing where anybody could just say a name and point a finger, and then essentially that person's over. Because these people are over, yo. Louis C.K., one of the biggest comedians, is finished. Kevin Spacey's finished. Russell Simmons, well, he still has his investments in businesses. So, but I mean, as far as a public figure, finished. Like, all these people are
Charlie
finished.
Rose, Sean.
Charlie Rose, done. Matt Lauer, done. These are huge. Like, when I heard Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, what's his name? The black dude there.
Tavis Smiley.
The congressman, the black congressman, like, these people are finished. The same dude there, the congressman, comedian turned congressman, what's his name with the glasses there?
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah, I know what you're talking
like
about.
These dudes, you know, they were people that made a difference that mattered, and they're finished, man.
Yeah. Now, so like, like I said again, I'm all for the dominoes to fall. I do agree, in the sense that you hope that nobody takes advantage of this and starts accusing innocent people. You know, you definitely don't want that.
Which is going to happen. It already has.
Which I mean, and if you're innocent, and if those people are being accused that are actually innocent in that case, then you better take them to court and fight them to the fullest extent of the law. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, that's your name. Like, and the scary thing is with something like that, it doesn't matter if you're innocent or not. Like, just the fact that you're accused of it is always going to be in the paper for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
You know, exactly. you definitely don't want that. But, I mean, I think this movement, the survivors and the whistleblowers of the Me Too movement, I think, honestly, they're the MVPs, because it takes a ton of strength to stand up to anyone that's abused you, just in general. You know what I mean? For all the obvious reasons, like fear, safety, you know, but to stand up to somebody who not only you're fearful of for those same reasons, but that same abuser has the power to just ruin your entire livelihood as well as your family. I think it's amazing that you can do that. And I'm not, and let me preface this by saying that I'm in no way putting one situation over the other, because it's all equally awful, you know, but the one thing I will say before we move on, though, is that, like, I swear to, in the last few podcasts that I've done this, there's a reoccurring theme that keeps coming up in this last few podcasts that I've done. And I think the theme going into 2018 is that the power structure is changing in ways that the old guard could not even fathom. You know what I mean? And the ways of the old guard is becoming obsolete, Sean, because even 10 years ago, all these accusations would have been buried under the rug by the most powerful people, who not only had the power to suppress this kind of information, but they would put the fear of God in anyone who even thought about leaking it. You know what I mean?
You're right.
And now it's changed the whole game. So I think that's for the better. You know what I mean?
But honestly, this is the last thing I'll say. That's why this time is such a bizarre time, because it's a time period where they still allow the most blatant racial injustices to go, you know,
unchecked.
Unchecked, and, you know, without any repercussions. But somehow with this Me Too movement, all of a sudden people woke up and realized we can't let those injustices go. Mm. So don't get me wrong. I'm not diminishing the importance of the Me Too movement in any way, but it's a bizarre time that same culture that finally, you know, remove that curtain that allowed what you just described as, whistleblowers completely being discredited and having their lives ruined, that this same climate would do the right thing in that case, but then still completely be,
ignorant to the racial factors of certain things. Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of a real bizarre time we live in. It's very strange.
No, I hear you. I hear you with that. And before we move on, I'll just add this. My last point too is just, obviously, we have, wives and, like we both have wives and basically like, we've had homegirls and friends of ours, that are women and you hear some of the stories. Like, I know I'll speak for myself here, but I've spoken to like some friends of mine that's gone through some crazy shit. You know what I mean? Just on a rec. And I don't mean like stuff at like work. I mean, just simple shit of like going into the club and somebody grabbing their breasts or somebody grabbing their ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's
true.
When you sit back and think of all that shit that women have to kind of even just navigate on a regular basis, and being in a man's world, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. You know what I mean? Cause I'm like, I couldn't imagine if like I'm somewhere with, with the wifey and she comes back and tells me somebody just grabbed my breast. I'm like, what kind of rage you would go into? You know what I mean?
I
mean, Sean, it could be your wife. You know what I mean? And she comes and tells you that, and I'm probably getting there before you.
Yeah, trust me.
You know what I mean? So it's like just the regular day to day shit that they gotta go through. Like women gotta go through. It's like it's crazy, man. So that's what I said. I think this new guard, this new energy is coming in. I just say nothing lasts forever, man. Nothing lasts forever.
And last thing I'll say is, although I think that the true MVPs are the front runners who started all of this, because like I said, they took the biggest risk. Mm-hmm. Thinking about it even further, I gotta agree with you, I guess, at the entire movement, because aside from the few people that of course are going to do things just to get on the bandwagon, even though that may be the case, I don't want to diminish how painful it must be to come out and tell some of these stories. So
yeah.
I want to second guess what I said. Of course, it's painful and humiliating to tell anything like that, and to bring your story to the forefront and say that these things happen to you, especially if you're someone like Terry Crews. that one, I don't know. I might have kept that to myself, to be quite honest with you. Like, listen, I don't know.
But
Terry
Crews,
I don't know if I would have came out of that. I don't know if I would have publicized that one.
Nah, but you know what though, and this is probably the right time for him to do that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because think, I mean, I'm sure plenty of men like him has been in that situation too.
Yeah.
And are much much more afraid to lend a voice to it. You know what I mean? So,
That's true.
Just like you took a sip to Kaepernick. Hold on, let me take my sip to this Me Too movement. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth.
Yeah, sounds like it. Smooth like sandpaper, it sounds like.
Alright, so the next one is New Edition. Alright, so they came back into the spotlight due to the miniseries on BET that was well received, and it was one of the biggest highlights of the year, even though it came out almost a year ago. But it sparked a renewed love for all the members of the group. They gained exposure to an entirely new generation. They granted them different awards, lifetime achievement awards, and everything else, and much more. So the love for New Edition is definitely back. It's thriving, and the fact that we're even talking about them in 2017 is amazing. What are your thoughts?
Honestly, man, I missed that entire New Edition wave. I never saw the miniseries.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah. No.
What is wrong with you, Sean?
Heard about it. Just couldn't get around to it.
Ah, Sean.
So, with that said, I mean, I guess you're right. it made some noise, but just not enough for me to want to watch it. I kind of ignorantly think I kind of know what happened anyway. Maybe I don't know the whole story, but I don't know. Whatever, man. I'm probably never gonna watch. I don't really care.
And you know what's funny? I'll be honest with you, Sean. Why I got caught up in it is I had your mentality going into, because you kept seeing like the previews like months in advance, knew what this shit miniseries. And like, oh, okay, good for them. That's cool. But I honestly didn't have an interest in watching it. The first couple episodes that showed live, I didn't even think twice to watch it, to be honest with you. But a few people kept telling me, like, yo, no, man, you need to watch it. This is really good. And I'm like, really? They're like, no. They're like, it's really good. And I'm like, not to throw shade, but I'm like, it's BET. I mean, it's a it's like a life, you know, like the Lifetime channel. Like, you know what I mean? That type of, well, I don't want to see do with this shit and bad acting. And they're like, no, like, it's really good. And I heard from quite a few people who normally would have my mindset. And they were like, nah, Calvin, you need to watch this. I'm like, really? I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll check it out. And then the first, I think it was a 3-part series. So the first one, I was like, yo, oh, this is nice. I can't lie. I was actually pleasantly surprised. And hearing the different stories, I know you didn't watch this, but how the Gumby Cut got started for Bobby Brown, for example, how that got popularized was while he was getting his haircut, a few dancers went by and the barber lost his head and was staring so hard at the dancers, he cut a patch into his head.
Oh, wow.
He cut a patch into his box cut. And, you know, they freaked out. He's like, yo, you got me looking like Gumby. So they had to cut it slant and cut it sideways to make it look somewhat decent right before he went to go shoot the Every Little Step video. And wow, and that's what we ended up emulating afterwards. You know what I mean? Wow. How much people did that? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so
that sounds like a commercial or something, like a double mint commercial or something.
It sounds like a skit.
Staring at something and chewing gum and it's weird.
Okay. It sounds like a skit, to be quite honest with you. But like, there was so much different stories in it that just kind of blew my mind. But I remember after watching the second part of the miniseries, I finished watching it like 1 a.m. and I'm like, I gotta watch the third one. I sat back and watched it till like 2 something in the morning. Like, wow. I thought it was, Sean, it was awesome. I can't lie. I was
all right. I guess I'll try. I can't swear to it. Something about me just thinks, I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think I care. I don't know what it is,
man. I'm telling you, you got to watch it, man. You got to watch it. And honestly, it speaks to the quote, as they say, man, you got to give people the roses while they can still smell them. I'm glad they got this record because they're a great group. They're a great group, right?
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And we've discussed it even, I think, at certain points this year, just talking about, like, because when you see these things come on, it's like it makes you go back and just not only remember your memories of those days of when you used to listen to New Edition or BBD or, you know, Johnny Gill or Bobby Brown, all that stuff, but it makes you go back and start listening to some of the music. And I think it might have been you, but I'm not even sure. But I remember just thinking to myself, I'm like, man, listening to BBD, I'm like, yo, I forgot. Like, I know they're legends and they were great, but man, I forgot just how great they were. Like, that BBD miniseries kind of reminded me of that. Like,
oh, I was about to say that, man. BBD, like, New Edition, of course, you know, great group, but they spawned BBD and Bobby Brown. I'll say BBD and Bobby Brown over New Edition to me personally. Mm. Ralph Tresvant, Johnny Gill, give me a break, put me to sleep. But yeah, BBD, whew, yeah, man. I remember they used a lot of batteries in my Walkman in my high school.
Oh no,
days,
for sure,
geez, for sure. Man.
And it's funny, even though Ralph Tresvant was the, you know, the lead singer, and he's always the lead singer in New Edition, like he always has that role. But when, you know, you gotta think about it too. Like they were the first, one of the first groups. They pulled the Wu-Tang before Wu-Tang, right? Everybody had their own solo deals. And everybody got famous, you know, independent of the group itself.
But I think that was less planned and more because of chaos, right?
A little bit. But, you know, they took some, I mean, Bobby Brown left first, you know what I mean? And they replaced him with Johnny Gill. So he had his career going on. And then I think after the Heartbreak album, they kind of separated and started doing their own thing. But they're all superstars in their own right. You know what I mean? Like, individually. Like, Johnny Gill, I know you think he puts you to sleep, but he's one of the great R&B singers of his time. I think Ralph Tresvant would probably, even though he's the lead singer, he probably had the weakest solo career out of everybody.
Other than Sensitivity, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, like, his stuff was okay. Like, it was okay. It didn't suck, but it was just, it didn't catch you like Bobby Brown stuff. It didn't catch you like BBD. It didn't even catch you like Johnny Gill. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those things, which is too bad because he was a talented guy. He's a talented guy, man. But that's not definitely, that's something you should watch, man. Like, you watch it. Go watch that, Sean. Go watch that.
I probably won't, but maybe I'll.
You bastard. Next up, Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we dropped Damn, which is arguably the best album in hip-hop this year that came out. And we gave some podcast love to it earlier this year. And they gave him the mythical crown, you know, for the game in 2017. He sold millions of records and broke even more in the process. What are your thoughts?
Hey, tell you what, man. It hurts my heart to say this as a Canadian because I'm trying to show support for my fellow countrymen, but I think he proved with this album he might be the best out right now. And he definitely takes the title from Drake as far as best rapper. Hearing Kendrick Lamar, and there's even another song I heard just recently with some dude I have no idea who it is, to be honest with you, that my son played for me, because essentially that's how I hear all my new music now. Sonny plays it for me, and then I'm like, oh, my first reaction is always like, that's all right. Then I'm like, son of a bitch, that was a really good song. Like, it grows on me, you know? Yo, Kendrick is really good, man. Like, right. I mean, really good as far as, like, if you put him back in the day with our people, we would still think he was good.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and, like, people like, again, Drake and other people, if you put him in a time machine and they stepped out and it was 1995, they would blend in and no one would really make a huge deal about them. But Kendrick, though, this guy's good, man.
Yeah.
Like, guy's really talented, man. Lyrically, flow-wise. Lyrics are always tight, but flow and the way this guy rides a beat, jeez. Kendrick is dope, man. I don't have much more to say than that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for you new listeners who didn't get a chance to catch that episode of the podcast that we did where we're talking about the NBA playoffs, and then we split it in kind of in half. The last part of the podcast, we talked about the Damn album. But honestly, I'm not going to say too much more other than cause we said a lot in that, and I want you guys to go check that out. But honestly, man, it was, you know, that album really, it takes a lot for me to, like, especially in this day and age, to blow my mind. You know what I mean? And and that album, I can't lie, man, like that. Yeah, the songs were just so dope, man. Like, Duckworth is that one is, like, one of my favorites to this day, man. Like, the last track is just disgusting. But honestly, it's everything you said is true. I'll co-sign everything you're saying. I just want to talk about DNA for a second, man. DNA is probably one of the best songs of 2017, man, because the beat is hot, how we spit and the content is dope. But the fact that this guy changes flow and melodies every four bars.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just, man, just, it's I can't get enough of it. Like, to this day, I've never gotten tired of that song this year.
Like, yeah,
DNA is sick. Like, the fact that he changes his flow every four bars. Like, I didn't even catch that right away. It probably took me, like, a couple of times.
Actually, until you mention that now, I didn't catch he changes flow
really?
Four bars either.
No, yeah, every, know. Like, the way, the cadence and the way he flips it, every four bars, it changes.
Oh,
and I'm like, it's very subtle, but it's sick. It's sick how he did that. I'm like, I was very impressed. And it just basically took you right into the rest of the album. You know what I mean? Like, Humble and all the other songs, like, it took you right in.
Yeah, now that Kendrick, yeah, I think he's going to be here for the long haul, man. This guy is no flash in the pan, man.
No, for sure. Next up, we got Jay-Z. He dropped 444, which is by far the most woke Jay-Z album that he's ever put out. His point of view shifted in helping Black people and people in general to rise up mentally and financially. And he even shared the fact that his mother came out. She came out of the closet and how proud he was of that. Plus, he had the accompanying tour that I believe is still going on, and you know, as of this podcast. Is Hov an MVP for the way he shook up music with his type of content in 2017?
Yo, I'll tell you what, man. Jay-Z came out and basically did this year what I never saw coming a mile away, man. You know, the Jay-Z we grew up with, you know, listening to was the king of materialistic fickleness. Yeah. And making it cool. He was a king of that. And for him now to this year to display so much depth, so much consciousness, so much using of his platform to preach to his own vulnerabilities and show that it's okay to show that level of humanity, and then at the same time to use his platform to shed the light on injustices,
mm-hmm.
and to empower the movement and the progress of his people. Like, I didn't see that coming from 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
1,000 miles away. And I mean, on a side note here, I don't know how long this evolution was brewing, but this kind of shows where him and Dame Dash split. Because Dame Dash and Jay-Z, Dame Dash last year was yelling at the Breakfast Club about his son selling cookies and you're not a boss. And Jay-Z was on a completely different level of maturity and consciousness. It's insanity. But I'll give Jay is definitely MVP for 2017, man. Like, I have the utmost respect for how he's carrying himself right now, and it's needed. Like, I think, like you and I have said before, like, you know, hip-hop has found itself in a way where it's only cool to rap about the most unflattering parts of our culture, to rap about being a drug-dealing, killer, womanizing money blower,
and now drug user.
Yeah, exactly. And now drug user. But Jay is sitting there rapping about investing and the importance of family, and you know how he realizes the error in his ways with, you know, the misogyny and the womanizing, the same womanizing, you know what I mean, that he used to glorify. Mm-hmm. He's now saying he realizes that how wrong it was and all the pain he's caused. And you know, it's like, this is the album that we needed. And I don't know if people are going to follow suit, but I would really, really hope so. Just mm-hmm. because not everything has to just highlight the most negative parts of our culture, man. You know, yeah. And some things need to uplift. Some things need to motivate. Some things need to positively influence, and that's what Jay did with this album, man. I can't really say much more than that.
Very well put, to be honest with you. The only negative on Jay, and it's not because of Jay, it's not Jay's fault, but I think the overwhelming attention and glorification of this album, it made it seem like he was the first rapper to ever show vulnerability and talk about, you know, helping his people and, you know, showing different sides to him. But it's like,
yeah,
there's
true.
Other rappers has been doing that too. You just weren't listening to them properly, or you just weren't giving them their proper credit. You know what I mean?
So okay, it's like, no, yes,
but
I'll agree.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your point first. I'll go after.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, it's just, but I think the fact that, I think the shock of it coming from Jay-Z is exactly. I think people got overhyped on that situation. You know what I mean? But again, it's not his fault. It's not anything that he did. I think it's just a reaction that people went a little overboard to me regarding that part of it. But other than that, I think
you're right, and that's what I was going to say. And you're 100% right. He didn't break the mold with that. I think it's two things though. One, because of the level, well, because he's just the best out there. He's a Jordan of rap, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And then two, just because it's just so different from what he did before. Because remember, what did he say before? Truthfully, I like to rap like, what did he say?
Common sense. But I did 5 mil. I ain't been rapping like common sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess he kind of proved that he would, you know, like to rap like common sense. You know what I mean? Because did it. And I think that that's the reason why it got so much attention, because it's just such a, it's so different from what he's done in the past. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that, see, you're right. He didn't break the mold with it. It's true. A lot of people have been doing that for, you know.
For length of time. Yeah. Like it's, you know.
For sure.
But Common himself.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, for starters. But yeah, but other than that, yeah, the album was really good, man. I mean, I know some people are like, yo, this is the best album they've ever heard from Jay-Z, or like top two or three. I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah,
but but in terms of content, if you're rating it in terms of content, I think yes. Content wise, not flow, not delivery, not all that stuff, but just content, the information that he's putting out and the positivity and just the vulnerability, yes, that is his best album in that viewpoint. But
exactly. Listenability, meh, no way.
Yeah, but I did enjoy it though, for what it's worth. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it just wasn't, like I said again, I think it was shocking to hear that, yeah, after all these years, this is the guy that, you know, is that your chick and made all these songs, you know what I mean? And you're hearing this side of him. But I guess it also shows a maturity, you know what I mean? Somebody growing. And realistically, I can respect that part of it too, because we're human, man. At some point, like, you know, you can't live the same way in your 40s as you did in your early 20s. That would be ridiculous. And some people do.
True that.
You know, like Nas said, man, the second childhood, right? Like, some people are still living their second childhood. Like, it's crazy, you know? But
yeah, it is true. Yeah,
so that part of it, I give him respect for, because I always said, as much as I love, like remember, like, I'll say Mobb Deep, rest in peace of Prodigy, but, like, it's, you can't be 40 years old and still shooting people in the face. You just can't do it.
You shouldn't be anyway.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know.
Self-life of that is long expired.
At some point, it's like, yo, you live in a mansion. You haven't been in the hood in like 15 to 20 years. Why are you still robbing people on the corner? Like, you're not that guy anymore, you know?
Good point.
You know, so with Hov, it's like, yeah, showing that level of maturity, you know, like, at least, you know, album wise, like, I got to give him props for that.
I'll agree wholeheartedly, sir.
So that was part one of the MVPs of 2017 here on South Sharav Radio. You can go ahead right now to catch part two of this episode, where we finish up on our MVP candidates for 2017. It's the AF Podcast with Cal C on South Sharav Radio.